ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the canto 5, the structure of the universe, chapter number 20 and verse number 6 onwards. So I'll cover a few verses. Some of the verses doesn't have purport, and so I'll cover a few verses until we reach one purport of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know the meter of this one. Palakshadisu panchasu. Palakshadisu panchasu purushana. Lakshadishu panchasu
purushanam
ayur indriyam ojasaho balam ayur indriyam ojasaho balam buddhir vikrama iti cha sarvesham word by one translation. Plaksha Adishu. In the islands headed by Plaksha.
In the islands headed by Plaksha.
Panchasu.
Five.
Purushana.
Purushana.
Of the inhabitants.
Of the inhabitants.
Ayuhu.
Ayuhu.
Long duration of life.
Long duration of life.
Indriyam.
Indriyam.
Soundness of the senses.
Soundness of the senses.
Ojaha.
Bodily strength.
Sahaha.
Mental strength.
Balam.
Balam.
Physical strength. Buddhihi.
Intelligence.
Vikramaha.
Bravery.
Iti.
Thus.
Cha.
Also.
Sarvesham.
Of all of them.
Outpatiki inborn
siddhihi
perfection avisheshena
without distinction
vartate
exist.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O King, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshadvipa. Please repeat after me. O King, longevity, sensory prowess,
physical and mental strength,
intelligence
and bravery
are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshadvipa. So here, description of Plakshadvipa is going on. There are seven dvipas. So we already very much in detail covered Jambudvip. So now other islands are being described. Text number 7. Lakshadweep is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice, equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is then another island, Salmalidvipa, twice as broad as Lakshadweep, 400,000 yojanas or 3,200,000 miles, and surrounded by an equally broad body of water called Surasagar, the ocean that tastes like liquor. Text number 8. On Salmalidvipa, there is a Salmali tree from which the island takes its name. That tree is as broad and tall as Lakshadweep tree. In other words, 100 yojanas broad and 1100 yojanas tall. Learned scholars say that this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of all birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. In that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. Text number 9. The son of Maharaj Priyavrat named Yagna Bahu, the master of Salmalidvipa, divided the island into 7 tracts of land, which he gave to his 7 sons. The names of those divisions which correspond to the names of the sons are Surochan, Saumanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Paribhadra, Apyayana and Avignata. Text number 10. In those tracts of land, there are 7 mountains: Swarasa, Satasringa, Vamadeva, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavarsha and Sahasrasruti. There are also 7 rivers: Anumati, Sinivali, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajni, Nanda and Raka. They are still existing. Text number 11. Strictly following the cult of Varnashram Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands who are known as Shrutidharas, Vidyadharas, Vasundharas and Ishandharas all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Soma, the moon god. Text number 12. The inhabitants of Salmalidvipa worship the demigod of the moon in the following words: by his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into 2 fortnights. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into 2 fortnights, known as Shukla and Krishna, for the distribution of food grains to the pitas and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. So these are the prayers by inhabitants of Salmalidvipa to moon god. And text number 13. Outside the ocean of liquor is another island known as Kushadweep, which is 800,000 yojanas wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Salmalidvipa is surrounded by a liquor ocean Kusudipa is surrounded by an ocean of liquor ghee, liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushadvipa, there are clumps of Kusha grass from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminates all directions. Forgot by Srila Prabhupada. From the descriptions in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be full of flames, because without flames there cannot be illumination. The flames on the moon, however, unlike those on the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Su sapani su komala sikhas tesam rochisa. The kusha grass illuminates all directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishnaya Gurave. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachandi Devi Shishashunyavadi Parshade Sani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So with blessing of all the devotees, I would endeavor to speak glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially this subject matter is quite vast, and same time it is very complex as well, the structure of the universe. So definitely I have no qualification whatsoever to speak on this subject matter, but whatever I have learned and heard from the devotees and books of Srila Prabhupada, I would repeat. So here we see Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions that we don't accept modern science what they say about moon god. So here in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the fifth canto, we'll come across so many descriptions that sounds very, very fantastic. So fantasy means something which is not real. So that's where the word fantastic comes. Something amazing. No, but it is very much real. This description is very much real. The scientist, through their limited perception, sense perception, and their limited understanding, they want to say something about creation and origin of species, which actually very much incorrect. Prabhupada would often say that yes, science has progressed so much and has given us so much understanding and knowledge, and we give them due credit. That's fine, you know, we can give them due credit whatever they have done, but why they are saying there is no God? There is a problem. They say that there is no God. So we have a problem with that, and not that you know what you have made and you know discovered. So scientist will say to us that you prove that there is God. But Prabhupada would say, you know, you disprove that there is no God. Can you do that? No. You know, in front of us there are so many evidences, but we become blind to those. Just a simple thing. For example, if you walk out, these flowers, for example, these flowers having so much fragrance. It has a form, it has such a nice colors, right? There are some fruits. So if you plant a mango tree, next to that you plant apple tree, they both will grow. And mango will have distinct taste, and same same goes to apple tree. It will have also very distinct taste. The roots are going in the same earth, and they are just next to each other. So isn't that miracle? But scientists will try to explain, no, this is how it works, and this and that, you know. Okay. You know, if you really know, then make something, and then you prove that, yes, I know. If you want to claim that I know, that means you have to prove it. So make a seed in your laboratory of apple and mango, and then you grow and show us that you can make. Then you can say, yes, we know that how it works. But we say, no, it is God's creation. That's how it works. Same goes with flowers. You make artificial flowers in your laboratory and you put it into soil and let it grow. Can you do that? No. Small insects like an ant, if you have sugar on first floor, it will find its way and go there. Can you make a machine that goes and finds sugar on the first floor? Tiny machine like that, ant. So you make your explanation, all those things, you know. This is how it's been created, and we know the origin. There is no God involved in that. It is all physics and chemicals, you know. No, you are just speculating. You cannot disprove. You cannot disprove that. Our verdict that, you know, God does exist. You cannot disprove that. So they have very much limitations. Of course, we know that human beings have four defects. What are those four defects? Imperfect senses. Then?
Illusion,
yeah. To be illusioned in between. Long time, huh, Bhakti Shastri? Forgot? What are the four defects of human being?
Cheating propensity.
And commitment mistakes. Yes. So this is there. You know, scientists are no different than human beings. You know, they are after all human beings who has these limitations. So with their imperfect senses, they try to observe. They try to analyze, and they present something. But your apparatus is first of all defective, which is made by your defective senses and your defective understanding. So how can that apparatus will be perfect? And whatever that apparatus is giving you will also be having limitations, you know, it will be also having faults in that. But they project that as if it is perfect. So, and then this whole science is based on two things, two theories they have. Still it is called theory. It is not proven fact, still it is called theory. So which are those theories? Have you studied in your school?
No. Which theories?
Scientists say about creation and origin of species, which are the two theories?
Oh, Big Bang.
Big Bang.
Yeah.
And for origin of species?
Evolution,
yes. By Charles Darwin, right? So these are the two theories, these are their foundations, their granthas, their shastras, you know, on which whole explanation of creation and origin of species is built upon. But it has so many defects, so many limitations to that. And Prabhupada, if you read, and especially if you hear his morning conversation with the devotees, you know, it's very much
so much informative, very interesting. Prabhupada would defeat, he would make his disciple to take position of modern scientists and doctors and engineers, you know, and even sometimes, you know, Mayavadis and impersonalists. And you pose argument and I will smash it. You know, like that. So that was Prabhupada's pleasure, you know. And that's how he would teach his disciples. They don't get swayed away what these people, these materialistic people say. Although they have big, big names and big, big positions and reputation in this material world, but they are nothing in front of, you know, devotees. So, Prabhupada would give very simple, even very, very simple explanation to just debunk those theories. But even if we want to explain this scientist, these big, big people, with evidences and proofs and so much data in their own language, scientific language, if you want to present, still they will not accept. Still they will reject. No, these are bogus, you know, we can't accept them. Why? Because there is so much politics, even in this field, politics of truth, politics in education. And it can be governed as big as, you know, 10 people, team of 10 people that governs whole education system all over the world. So you may give lectures and present your viewpoint from Shastra and your studies and research. You may go even to university and present, but they don't count that. No, unless you present research paper, Prabhu has produced so many research papers, right? So your viewpoint is not accepted, isn't it? Unless you present that research paper. So then they have whole setup. And then you have to present research paper and it will go through panel of, you know, their so-called learned people. And then they go through, and if they approve, then it will be published in their journals, which have their own reputation. And then your viewpoint is accepted into mainstream, and then it will be taught to other people. You know, so very much controlled. This thing is very much controlled. And when you present, if it doesn't fit in their understanding, it doesn't fit into Darwin's theory and Big Bang theory, which is something outside of that, then you are ridiculed, you are rejected. Come on, get lost from here. You know, they don't accept. So that's how they very much control. It's just politics, big politics into them. Some devotees from our ISKCON, like Sadhaguta Prabhu, Drutkarma Prabhu, then Dambi Goswami Maharaj, and so many other devotees, Bhaktivedanta Institute. Under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Institute has published and produced so much enormous research work on these subject matters. But they don't accept. Although they say, you know, we have empirical evidence we need to accept that. We give them empirical evidence. Yes, science is based on that. You see, observe, and then yes, it works. Let's accept. But there are so many evidences given, but still they don't accept. If you hear Sadhaguta Prabhu's lectures and his books, then he would present so many cases like that. You know, when they did research, they found so many cases of archaeologists. They came up with some skulls and bones, and you know, they do carbon dating of those things, and that dates way back, so many thousands of years. So that proves that, you know, even that time human being was existing. They were there. But as per Darwin's theory, no, only certain period before that there was no human beings on the earth. So what about this evidence? No, there must be a mistake, and they ridicule and they don't accept. And you won't find that information anywhere. Prabhu was saying that, you know, some cases we had to search so much, you won't find even trace of those cases which were rejected by the mainstream science. They basically, you know, make it disappear. There are no evidences, so no one can actually, you know, dug into these things and, you know, find and, you know, argue with them. So there are so many cases like that. For example, this out of body experience. So even Stephen has done so much research on that subject matter, but still they don't answer. If, for example, you know, something happens to us, cases are like that, and then the person goes to hospital and he is fainted, he is not conscious anymore. Doctors perform some operation on his body, and then after some time that person revives consciousness, he comes out and he speaks to doctor, and he will say that, doctor, yes, I saw what you were doing. You know, you cut my belly and there you were doing something, you asked for this tool, and then you did that, but in meanwhile you cracked a joke also, you know, you cracked a joke about my protruded belly, you know, I didn't like it, honestly speaking, you know. And like that, you know, this patient is telling doctor. So that patient was not there, he was unconscious. How could he see? Yes, he was out of the body and he observed from there, and he repeats what the doctor said, what tools they used, everything, word to word. So there are so many cases he presented like that. But still, reincarnation is considered a myth. It doesn't exist. We have only one life, body takes birth and death, that's it. Enjoy. Enjoy to the full extent, you know, as much as you can. So this is the reason actually, this is the reason they don't let their viewpoint to be challenged and destroyed. Otherwise, if this Darwin's theory and Big Bang theory collapse, then what happens? The whole empire of sense gratification will collapse. And this is why they don't allow that. Because what is it, after all, when you speak about this thing, that debunk Darwin's theory and Big Bang theory and the whole science, present model, materialistic science, then you have to bring soul into discussion. You have to bring Supreme Being, God, into discussion. And when soul and God is talked about, that means people will have their attention towards the spiritual subject matter. So they will be taken away from the materialistic thing, and they will be more interested in the spiritual thing. So their consumerism will go down. When you have spiritual understanding, you will naturally become interested in many other subject matters which is related to spirit soul. So you may become detached from the material world. You may not indulge yourself into consumerism. What will happen? You know, so their whole business of sense gratification will collapse. So this is why they very much protect themselves, and they have big lobby. It's a big politics to protect themselves. So they can continue their sense gratification in the material world. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that we don't accept viewpoint of this science. This moon is having very beautiful form and, you know, very beautiful, pleasant rays coming from the moon, which gives life to all the living beings, especially the vegetation. And this Kushagra is mentioned on this dweep is also emanating very subtle and very beautiful effulgence. It appears like a mild fire. So this is the description, but if you read that on the common, you know, this is very, very unrealistic. But no, This is very much true. So we are, as I said, we are very much limited, our senses are very much limited. To experience this universe, you need a certain level of consciousness. And same time, if you want to travel to the other parts of the universe, you need certain type of body. So, according to your karma, you will receive certain type of body and consciousness by which you can explore this universe, you can witness this universe. So the version we read in Srimad Bhagavatam is actually from the viewpoint of demigods. It is not from the human observation. It is from the demigods. So demigods have different body and they have different consciousness by which they have observed this universe and they are present in us. So for us it looks very unrealistic. It's just like that, you know, if you have ant roaming around in this room. So ant doesn't have any understanding whatsoever about city, the beautiful city of Melbourne, most livable city in the world. They won so many awards like that, you know, consecutive years, but maybe no more now. So the downtown city, the Eureka skyscraper, this ant have no relation whatsoever. It has. It is just beyond its imagination and beyond its perceivable reach. Cannot perceive. But that does it mean that Eureka Tower in the city doesn't exist? It has its own life. Yeah, you know, in the tower, you know, so many people live, so many offices are there, and so many activities going around. But this ant doesn't have any clue whatsoever. So we are like that ant in front of demigods. We have no clue whatsoever what is happening in the universe. So it is about the karma. And the ant is limited by its body, limited by its consciousness. And its karma is such that it's trapped. An ant is trapped, it's conditioned to live in that surrounding and then it has limitations. So same way, we are also conditioned to live in a particular place and we have very limited movement and very limited perception. So by our senses, we cannot comprehend the great, vast of material universe. So we take guidance from Srimad Bhagavatam. We accept what Srimad Bhagavatam says about that. Many, many things, for example, the Mount Sumeru is right in the center of this universe and it's a big object actually speaking, a very tall Mount Sumeru. But if you take your powerful telescope, can you see, no matter which direction you go and you know, focus your telescope, can you locate Mount Sumeru? It is a big object, just next to us, you know. It's very close in comparison to whole universe. Jambudvipa is in the center, and in the center of Jambudvipa there is a Sumeru mountain, and we are just next to it, actually speaking. Bharatvarsha is very close to this Mount Sumeru. But can we see that? No. Cannot. You need particular, as I said, particular consciousness to travel and to witness. For example, yogis who have the siddhis, Prabhupada would say that they enter into Ganges River in Himalayas and they come out in Prayag in Allahabad, you know, when they have Kumbh Mela. So, yeah, it appears that, you know, they travel through waterways very quickly. But it is again, you know, very very unrealistic understanding. We say, you know, how can, you know, that is also very much, you know, amazing, you know, travel from that long distance, you know, from Himalaya to Prayag. But actually, you know, not even they don't have even travel. You know, they just enter at one point and they come out in another point. You know, that is that mystical. And Prabhupada also gives example of a yogi. He had a siddhi to bring some objects from the far place, distant place. So he would bring pomegranates from Afghanistan. You know, that yogi Prabhupada talked about. So imagine this kind of siddhis, you can defy the laws of physics. And this is achieved through higher consciousness. When we are evolved, then these things are accessible to us. But at this time, we cannot. So different living beings have different consciousness, and they are controlled by these things. Description of Srimad Bhagavatam, they say it's a mythology. But no, it is not mythology, it is real. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he uses the word in the Bhagavad Gita about material world, anityam. He doesn't say mithya. He doesn't say mithya. He says anityam. It is not mithya, means it has a creation and then it stays for some time and then it gets destroyed and again gets created. So anityam, it is not continuous. But it is not mithya, it is nitya, anityam. So like that, people would say, yes, this is, especially impersonalist and Mayavadi, that this jagat is mithya. But no, it is not. There is very much real. The description of Srimad Bhagavatam, even of the universe, is very much real. And we also will see so much description. It may appear that it has some contradiction and we need very much reconciliation. Sometimes it appears that, you know, how come this we have presented here is saying this and the other places it says something else. So we need great reconciliation also. And we have to understand these descriptions are not from just present point of time, but it covers long time in the past as well. You know, so every kalpa goes through different transformation. You know, this universe, every manvantara there is partial destruction, and end of the day, each kalpa there is again partial destruction, and end of Lord Brahma's life there is a complete destruction. You know, so there are so many destruction happens, and each manvantara will have slight different creation, little bit different things happen in each kalpa. So this Bhagavad book is covering incidences from different kalpas and different manvantars. And sometimes you want to talk about different universes. So we have to really dug up and, you know, study, then only we can reconcile. There may appear some contradictions. There are some examples I can present if we have time. So, yes, so many destructions, creation destructions constantly happen. Do you know four types of destructions mentioned in 11th canto? 11th or 12th? Annihilation, four types of annihilations. Yes. The first one is the nityam, so constant annihilation. And there is constant annihilation happens. What is that? Refer to.
Time.
Yes, time is there, yeah.
Through time.
Time is involved in all the destruction. But the particular nityam destruction is, it's always happening. You know, our body cells are always changing, and, you know, taking birth and dying. And same way, you know, end of certain years, we'll quit our body, we'll take another body. So always birth and death is going on in front of us. you know. So there is Nitya, destruction. And then there is a Naimittika, which is actually the partial destruction. Every Manvantara, end of every Manvantara, partial destructions happen. So the planetary system below moon, the Bhauma Svarga and lower planetary system gets destroyed. And then there is another destruction, a partial destruction happens at the time of day of Lord Brahma, at the time of end of Kalpa. So that is also partial destruction, where Lord Brahma's planet remains, but all the other planetary system again submerged or burnt into fire, submerged into water. Prabhupada Kaushin, and all the living entities goes into body of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and then again they come out after the night of Brahma finishes. And then there is another destruction, which is, the Sanskrit name is Prakrita destruction. So that happens end of Lord Brahma's life. So where whole Brahman is annihilated, goes into body of Mahavishnu, and then when Mahavishnu exhales, again those universes come into being, existence. And then there is a final destruction, Antika destruction, something like that. So that is basically when Jiva gets liberated and goes back to God. So that is also annihilation, final annihilation. And so there are different creations and different annihilations continuously happening from time to time. So this Bhagavatam book is present in from not only this time but even time in the past, many incidences and many viewpoints. So we have to see that. So here, since we are studying structure of the universe, especially in this chapter, we started from 15th chapter. We have very much in detail studied Jambudvip. So now Sukadeva Goswami is explaining further different seven dvipas, and we will cover in future some movement of sun, upper planetary system, lower planetary system, and so many other beautiful explanation of the creation. So I kind of gathered some images from a book from Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth. They published, and of course this, as I mentioned, you know, many devotees over the years have studied this shastra and presented and tried to understand so this intricate subject matter of structure of the universe, and they have presented. So this book has many nice illustrations which I have compiled, and we will go through to give you a brief understanding of what this universe is like. As I mentioned, you know, I am not an expert either on this subject matter, and it is very deep and complex subject matter, very vast. So, but whatever we can understand, we'll see. Sukadeva Goswami himself, when he started this topic started in 15th chapter, he says, you know, you want to know structure of this universe, you know, even I don't know in full extent, you know. So Sukadeva Goswami himself says that. But I will present what I know, like that he said. So we are following his footsteps, and we'll see, we'll study what we can understand. And again, you know, this what is the benefit of studying this subject matter? It is part of Srimad Bhagavatam. It may appear very boring. For me, it's not boring. You know, for me, it's very, 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 very interesting subject matter. But you know, some people may find very boring. For me, you know, honestly speaking, you know, sometimes, you know, oh, this inhabitants prayed to their presiding deity. This. You know, so that section is a little bit boring for me. You know, so it all depends on consciousness. You know, where you are situated in your devotional life, you know, so you can see what you can relate to. So yes, this subject matter about creation of this universe is from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, and it is part of Lord's creation. It has its value. And Sukadeva Goswami says, one who knows this subject matter, this creation, he'll become free from material bondage. So this is the boon, this is the advantage given. And if you study this creation, you will become free from material bondage. How? What is the logic behind it? Can anyone say?
Yeah.
You won't be illusion. You will be disillusion. You won't be illusion like the big scientists, you know, this is our world, this is how it is, you know. You will be disillusion. You will think about many other subject matters, and of course you will hear about Supreme Lord, you will hear about living entity, you will hear about Jiva and Ishvara's relationship. And then you will see, oh yes, you know, this is not the place to live in. Victoria, the place to live. You know, in the number plates, you know, we hear the place to be. No, this is not place to be. You have to get out. So this creation awards this benediction that whoever studies, they will be having impetus to know further about that Supreme Being who has created this world, this universe, and they will desire, they will have impetus to go out of this world and be united with that Supreme Being. So this is the advantage. So let us go through some slides, and I shall briefly explain the universal structure. Slides are very basic, and it may not be in a particular order, but as we go, I'll say a little bit about them.
What is that?
What is that?
That's not it. There's a problem.
Okay. So the universe is like an egg. Brahmanda, anda means egg. So it is shaped like an egg. And half of the universe is covered by celestial water. And we call it Garbhodaka ocean. And on that ocean, Lord Vishnu, who is expansion of Lord Krishna, there are three Vishnus, right? Mahavishnu, Garbhodaka Vishnu, and Shivadaksha Vishnu. So Mahavishnu is a super soul of whole material creation, and he enters into each and every universe of the whole creation and resides on top of Garbhodaka ocean. So that Vishnu is called Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and he is super soul of that particular universe. And then he further expands into Kshirudaksha Vishnu, who resides in Shvetadvipa, in Dhruva Lok. He is super soul of each and every atom and living entities within the universe. So on the top of Garbhodaka ocean, Ananta Shesh is becoming bed of Lord Garbhodaka Vishnu. Lakshmi Devi is massaging, giving her service to Lord Vishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And from his navel, from Garbhodaksha Vishnu's navel, comes a lotus flower. And on top of lotus flower is who? Lord Brahma. And within that lotus stem, there are innumerous planets, which are basically divided into three parts: upper planetary system, middle planetary system, and lower planetary system, that we shall see. So again, when Lord Brahma appeared, there was nothing else. The whole place was dark. There was no moon, sun, and no dvipas, nothing, you know, nothing was there. And Lord Brahma performed this austerity for 100 years. Not human earth, not heavenly earth, but his own, Brahma's 100 years. So imagine, Brahma has 100 years of lifetime. Lifetime has 100 years. And he performed austerity for 100 years, same amount. So how can you understand that, you know? After 100 years he would have passed away. After performing tapasya, he would have died. No, but at that time even wasn't existing. So there was nothing. So yes, this is how, you know, Bhagavatam says. So one can say, you know, by our mind's understanding, you know, how can Lord Brahma live 100 years of his own, but after 100 years he dies actually. So what happened? No, time wasn't existing. So see, the Bhagavatam goes way back and presents something which wasn't even existing that time. So yes, and then after that Brahma created this secondary creation, this material world within the universe. So we'll see that explanation is given that the seven dvipas are like a lotus flower. The lotus, if you see from the top, it has some central portion, and around that there are whorls of different petals. So there is first ring, second ring, third ring, fourth ring, it's like that. So this is how it is being described. So it looks very beautiful, you know, from the viewpoint of demigods. If you see, it will look like the lotus. You know? So that's how they compare it. So it looks like a lotus. So in the center, the yellow part, if you see, that is Mount Sumeru or Mount Meru. And just below that, around that, there are little spikes. You will see. So that is actually, that portion is Jambudvip. And in Ilavrat Varsha we saw, you know, there are so many tall mountains that actually supports Mount Meru. So they look like a little spikes, you know, tiny but very tall. Small in the width, but very tall in the length. So they look like that. And then if you go further out, the white portion is another dvipa, and the ocean comes, then another dvipa, the next petal, ring of petals. So like that it will go. So this is a basic understanding. Go to next. Oh, I am sorry. Here you will see Garbhodak ocean. And here you will see, interesting thing, there is a kurma, and there is on top of kurma there is an ananta. And also on top of ananta there are eight elephants. And on top of that there is a disc-like shape which is actually Bhumandala. So that Bhumandala, in the center there is Mount Meru, and then after that is Jambudvip, and then all other dvipas then come after. And then this Brahmanda has a covering, outer layers of the universe, which are basically elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, ego, intelligence, ego. So it has different layers. Each layer is 10 times thicker than the previous one. And this is very interesting. This again, where is this Ananda coming from? So this also described in different shastras, and we came across that this Ananda is not Ananta Shesh, he is not Vishnu avatar, but he is actually Shaktyavish avatar, he is Jiva. So when and this happened in the end of which kalpa, I forgot the number, but when this Hiranyakaksha was killed by Varahadev, it happened in that Manmantra.
Chakshusha
Manmantra, yes, that's right. End of Chakshusha Manmantra, when this woman was sinking, this Varaha, Nila Varaha appeared, and he lifted whole Bhumandala out of Gangata ocean. In that time, Hiranyaksha came and he fought with Varahadev, and Varahadev eventually killed him. And then this Bhumandala was restored. But then Lord Brahma said, you know, we have to do something about this, you know. So this Ananda, who is actually son of Khadru and Kashyapa, he had many other brothers, all snakes, you know, and they were not in good terms with Garuda. They were always fighting. But this Ananda was actually a very good person. He wanted to have a nice relationship with everyone. You know, so he performed a lot of austerity, and he performed tapasya, and Brahma got pleased, and he requested Lord Brahma that, you know, I want to serve, I want to engage in some service. So he said, okay, you go down to Garbhodaka ocean and support whole Bhumandal on your hoods. So that's how he comes. But actually snakes cannot swim for a long time in water, and they have to come out, they cannot float. But tortoise can float. So this Nilvaraha assumed, he transformed into this tortoise, Kurma. So that's basically Lord Vishnu. And then on top of Kurma stays Ananta, and on top of Ananta, the whole Bhumandala is supported. So that's how it's been supported. And the elephants come also like that, you know. They also wanted some service. So they say eight elephants also came in between. And there are another four big gigantic elephants on top of Lokaloka mountain as well. They are also balancing the universe. So, yes. If you have a question, you can ask him. So this is Sumeru, and you can read the figures out all there. So 84,000 yojanas, it's outside of Bhumandala, and below Bhumandala there is 16,000 yojanas, and it is like a upside down cone. It is wider on top and smaller on bottom. And on top of this Mount Sumeru, there are Lokpalas. There are eight Lokpalas: Brahma, Indra, Yama. They have their cities on top of it. And in the center is a Brahmapuri, Lord Brahma resides there. Again, we see there are many places. Lord Brahma has his own planet on top of the universe called Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. He has residence here as well. Same way, you have information that on Pushkar Island, Pushkar Dvipa, there is Manasuttar Mountain. And on that mountain, in four directions, there are, again, you know, four cities. occupied by Indra, Varuna, and they have places here also. So they have multiple places in the universe. And they can manifest at the same time in each places. They all have inhabitants and their, their associates. Even human being can expand into 9 forms. If we have mystic siddhi, human being also can be present in 9 places at the same time. So what to speak of these demigods, they have much more higher consciousness than we have. Their karma is different than us. So yes, you will see different places, same demigods have different residents. So here, these are the Lokpalas, the key, the important demigods resides there. In the center of Brahma, then Vayu, Mera, Shiva, Indra, Agni, Yama, Inti and Varuna. And yes, in the center, from top, the blue color represents Ganges. So when that Leela happened, Vamandev cracked the shell of the universe, and from there celestial water entered into this universe and it came to Brahmaloka, and from Brahmaloka to Saptarishis Ganges, and then from there on top of Mount Meru, and from here it divides into 4 directions. And they are known as this Bhadra, Sita, Chakshuru, Alagananda. And then it enters into Ilavat Varsha and then goes into again further into different Varshas. So that this is Ganges. Yeah, see, this Ganges is going into different Varshas of Jambudvip. So this is Jambudvip in brief. Center is Sumeru, and then around that is Ilavat Varsha. And there are different versions we have gone through. And bottom in the south, there is Bharat Varsha. And each Varsha are divided by these huge mountains. So Himalaya is on top of Bharat Varsha, and it divides Kimpurusha Varsha and Bharat Varsha. So like that, different mountains are given, their heights and their length. Everything is given there in the Bhagavatam. This Ilavat Varsha is given. Different tree, different river, and what the inhabitants are like has been described in Shrimad Bhagavatam. Who are the presiding deities there, and presiding being, for example, Bharat Varsha, Narad Muni is presiding being, key person, and then Narayan is a presiding deity. Above that, King Purusha Varsha, Lord Brahma is presiding deity and inhabitants. Key inhabitant is Hanuman. Yes, so in the center there is a Sumeru, and just on the foot of Sumeru is a Jambudvip, the first small circle, and then after that the blue one is a salt ocean, and then next one is another, the one we are reading today, that portion comes Lakshadweep, and then sugar cane juice in a little greenish garnish. Here you can see, and the distance is uneven. You can see here all the names and their width. So green one is sugar grape juice, and then next one comes another version, and then the low one is another ocean. So it has different ocean. We will come across this description in Bhagavatam as we move forward. And the The last one is a Loka Loka mountain. Like many spices, it says, it is Loka Loka, Loka and Aloka. So sun rays doesn't pass beyond this mountain. So after that, the region after that is called Aloka. There is no inhabitants, no living entities. And within that ring of that mountain is Loka. So Loka, Aloka, that's how it name, Loka, Loka mountain. And then there's this four places, Mansutta mountain, 1, 2, 3, 4, that number is written. There are the four residents of four Lokapalas. So this is a 3D. Here is a vertical cross section of the universe. So you can see the Ananda, and top of his head is a Bhumandala. So this Bhumandala is basically Mount Meru and all the seven Dvipas up to the local of mountain. So that is called Bhumandala. It is western. So below the Sumeru mountain is lower primary system, and then from foot of Jambudvipa till the moon is called middle planetary system, and then from moon and above is the upper planetary system. So these are the three divisions basically. Upper one is called Swarga, the middle one is called Bhauma Swarga, earthly heaven, except the earth planet. But all other places are like heaven. You have beautiful places and the living beings enjoy just like the animals. And the below one is lower planetary system is called Venus Varga. Means that is also very opulent, just like this world. But it is subterranean region where light doesn't go. There also in that place there are Nagas who have gems on their hoods that actually illuminates whole place. Sunlight doesn't go. There's little zooming, you can see. So yes, there is sun and there is moon. There are 28 nakshatras and then all the different planets, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, Saturn. And then there is a Saptarishi planet, and then there is a Dhruva Loka. This is the Loka where Kshirodaksha Vishnu resides. And then Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka where Lord Brahma resides. And after that, there is little space, it says. That space is also called Vaikuntha, where Vaikuntha, within the material universe. Within the universe, there is Vaikuntha planets. And then there is an outer covering, starts with earth, water, fire, everything. And as I mentioned, this Loka Loka mountain, so there are four gigantic elephants. They are balancing the Bhumandala. And the pole star has a key function also. It actually acts as a central pole for all the planetary system, all the planets in the universe. It supports. It the axle is connected to the pole star. And here are some numbers. There is a description of Sishumar that will come in later chapters, where all the planets are this is the incarnation. This is a like a Virat Purusha. You know, so Narayan is taking form of Sishumar. This is a big gigantic dolphin, and all the planetary system. Different limbs of this dolphin has rotation
these different planets of the universe. Yes, so this is again simplified version of the universe, Amrita, and then lower planet system, Vimandara, and then starts Mount Meru, and then upper planet system. These are the subterranean heavenly planets. Below, Bhumandal. These are the names. And this will cover in the future. So currently we are reading the description of Lakshadweepa, we saw that. If anyone has any question, I can take a couple of questions and then we can continue here.
Where was the Earth planet with the last diagrams pattern, like all the planets in this? Where was the Earth planet?
I didn't get your question, so...
Because you know in the last diagrams it had like Saturn, Mercury, all those, but I didn't see the Earth.
Earth is actually it bottom of Mount Sumeru. It is way below. It is not that high.
Okay.
So I can show you the figure here in the computer again. So it's on the Bhumandal. It's in part of Jambudvipa.
Is it
in
the dolphin?
Yeah.
The dolphin didn't have Earth
on it. Oh, in the dolphin, Earth wasn't represented. Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking this then when you said time wasn't there when Lord Rama was meditating 100 years of his life. Time wasn't present.
Mm-hmm.
When Mahavishnu creates, and the Brahman, the Brahman, so when he impregnates the Mahatattva, the living entities and also time. So yeah. Otherwise Brahma wouldn't exist. So maybe can we understand that it's another way to understand time? It's another form of time because I can understand
when
you said time wasn't
present. Yeah. So, it is there, as Prabhupada mentioned, you know, time is present by its conspicuous
presence.
So, the whole ingredient, when we say Mahatattva, Pradhan, and then from Pradhan comes Mahatattva, and then later on it transforms into different elements, right? So time is there in Pradhan as well, time is there in Mahatattva as well. But when this effect of time starts, you know, this creation and then destruction and in between, that is manifested later on. So you can say that, you know, even earth, water, fire, everything is in Pradhan, even in Mahatattva. So all the ingredient, the sum total of all the elements is present there. So time is present, but it's not acting.
How you can say that it's 100 years of Brahma's if time wasn't, the effect of time wasn't there? How we can consider that number if wasn't the effect present? It's just a symbolic way to say it?
Not symbolic, but I mean, this is what we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, none of us have witnessed
that. No, because if he was meditating 100 years of his life, and time wasn't present, the effect of time wasn't present,
yes.
How we can consider those 100 years? It can be just supposed or something?
Yes, so that is coming from. The at that time Vishnu and Brahma, they only two key people were present, right? And they witnessed that. So it is coming from them, we assume. This information is coming from them. That this 100 years, no, there was no one else, so there was one wasn't present there, two witnesses, you know, he lived for 100 years, okay, then I'll say. So this information is coming.
Time, different forms of time, because Bhagavad definitely specified 100 years for meditation.
Yes, so it is been that specified 100 years.
And his whole life is also 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you said time wasn't present, so how we can count the time? Because 100 years being here doesn't count in its effect, it's present.
Yes, so we can conclude in a way that this information is coming from Vishnu himself. So Vishnu would have given this revelation to great devotees down the line.
It's interesting when you say the effect of time, because it was present, but the effect is different in different
yes.
stages. Yes. I'm trying to understand that one. Sorry, just.
Yes, this even Lord Brahma is quite. He has body of intelligence, and it's full intelligence. There are no other elements, just a pure intelligence. So it is difficult to conceive, right? And same time, even in his lifetime, for example, when he got attracted to his daughter, and his own sons condemned him. Right. So it was just in the mind, in the intelligence, you know, he felt that kind of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he quit his body. We hear that in the world. So imagine, same universe, he is still living. He hasn't finished his life. 100 years. He is in middle age right now, 51, and we have so many years to go. Yeah. But he quit his body within that, and then again reborn. So how to understand that? And so he quit that mentality. So that contaminated intelligence he quit, and then he was again reinstated with pure intelligence.
At the same time, he is unborn because he
can't. Exactly, he is unborn. And the same.
It's not the same process like that.
Yes, and we can relate to us also. You know, we call second initiatives. Twice more, bijas, right? So we are in the same body, but still we have taken second birth within the same body. So means our contaminated consciousness we left aside, and we now accepted a spiritual consciousness. That's how we are supposed to be, in one sense, after taking second initiation especially. You know, so it's just a change of consciousness. So it is mysterious same time. It is not something we can take and measure and, you know, touch and feel. It is quite subtle at a non-subtle level. So this, when it says, you know, 100 years we meditated, it didn't have any effect on time at that time.
I was also trying to understand the pastime of the churning of the ocean.
Yes.
And Kurma Avatar, and also Kurma that is holding the hole.
The same kurma comes when they use him as a support, and that's what my understanding is. Yeah. And those eight elephants sitting on hood of Ananda, they also came from that same joining of ocean. And then which milk ocean they joined, that is also, there is one milk ocean in the seven rivers, there is another milk ocean in.
That's.
Yeah. So definitely not that Dhruvaloka milk ocean they are talking about, maybe this ocean they are talking about. So it's different thing, now okay, Mount Meru went, they got lifted and then got there in. A milk ocean, and then they join there, and then again move back here.
Yeah.
Could be. So as I mentioned, you know, this goes in different manvantaras, in different kalpas. So which incident happened when, and at that time, what the universal structure was. It might be different than the current one. So you need reconciliation there. So we sometimes. Yes, so every manvantara is different, creation happens, partial destruction, partial creation. And it might be different structure at different manvantara and different kalpa.
So can we understand that every day some variation of the same? Well, we have a pattern, but every day can change some details.
Yeah, it can change, yes.
The structure,
yes,
of the universe.
Yeah. So maybe in some other kalpa, you know, elephants are not there. It is different. For example, you know, Prithumara has passed time into here. So he introduced organized city life and agriculture. Can we say prior to that it wasn't there? No, civilization was there. But they were even more evolved. They were not primitive. They were more evolved, that they didn't need organized city and agriculture to live. You know, and they were more evolved, that, you know, for example, in Satyayuga, you know, inhabitants were living in forests and they were self-sufficient, whatever was available. And they were just focused in their spiritual. So they didn't need that. That doesn't mean they were primitive. They were in fact more evolved than the people coming in history therefrom. So, yes, different time, different creation, there are some details where it is. So elephants, some creation elephants won't be there, some they will be there. Maybe Shesha is not there, someone else is supporting the universe. So you can die. So this information is not either in chronological and neither from one point of time, you know, in the history. It basically brings a lot of things from the past. So what happened when and what was the circumstances and situation at that time, we may not get full detail either. But the key thing is present day. As Prabhupada, you know, keeps hammering on each and every purport, even in creation, you know, he brings Supreme Lord. Why? Because we don't get swayed away thinking about, you know, how these inhabitants in heaven enjoy. Okay, let me worship some God so I can get this facility. So that central point remains same, that, you know, Krishna is Supreme Being and we are meant to serve Him. So, same mode Srila Sukhda Goswami, has presented Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it may touch upon different parts of creation, but central point remains same. So, He brings prayers of inhabitants for Krishna. So, where is what to do with of prayers? In one sense, you know, you are explaining the structure of the universe and you are talking about prayers of Lord, of inhabitants to Lord Vishnu. But no, the substance is this, the importance is given to this point, that, you know, don't get swayed away in all these things.
Basically, understand the level of consciousness of different living entities in different part of the universe.
Yes, yes.
And all related to.
Yeah, purpose of our life.
May I ask you, Prabhu, where we can get those photos or those pictures?
In the book published by Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth.
Can be online though? Because it's only in the book. By the book also?
Yes, they have published book. Online I'm not sure later, but online you can purchase. I can give you the source where you can purchase.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Nithai Guru Premanandi.
Thank you.